Mora, I'm very excited this morning to be here and to share with you what the Lord has put in my heart. Thank you so much, Pastor, and your wife, for the wonderful welcome and the coordination you made that I will feel I'm at home while I'm in South Africa. Thank you so much, every one of you, for welcoming me as a child of God and also together as a family in the kingdom. God bless you. Thank you. My name's, as you've been told, Sam. My African name is Chiyowa Mosisam. Chiyowa is my given name, the surname from Uganda. And Sam, that's my Christian name. Morris is a nickname. Many people know me as Morris. So even my Facebook, I use Sam Morris. I want to bless the Lord so much for this wonderful time. Thank you, every one of you. I'm speechless, but thank you for the wonderful welcome. Hence, I've been at your home for the whole week. Thank you for that hospitality. He told me and wife, Yanni, eat whatever you find in the house. It's for you. You know, Pastor, thank you. Aniki, thank you. Oh, all of you. You have hosted me. I feel like I'm at home. And also, I send greetings from my bishop, Bishop Gichuru Jeremy. He's a Kenyan, but he has been in Uganda for the last 32 years. And also from the leadership of our church, our Quarity Discipleship Church in Namungona Cathedral. Shofra has been a blessing to our lives. All of you people in South Africa, you have been such a blessing to our ministry in Uganda. And I pray that more and more will be sent. The three groups that have been from Shofra, two from here, one from Western Cape, Stellenbosch, they have been such a blessing to my life. I want to tell you, I think I've shared a few testimonies with some people. I've been blessed, I personally, and I've made sure what I've received from them, I impart to the youth in our church and even our nation. Mind you, our country has 35 million, but 75% they are youth under 30 years. So I can say in Uganda, we have the youngest generation probably in the whole world. 35 million, 75%, they are youth under 30 years. Uganda went through a turmoil. The blood was shed, especially from 80s and 86. And many people were killed in such a time. So we have a young generation. The Lord has put on my heart to bring the impartation on them. And next month, we are having a youth summit from 4th up to 6th of September. That's the purpose. I named it a generation claiming generations. I got that vision from the last group who was sent last year. I said this must not stop. And I've left my team back in Uganda. They are organizing to make sure this comes to pass. We want to impart our generation and to make sure everything goes well for the kingdom. Praise the Lord. I'm going to share what God has put on my heart when I was coming, and I prepared this while I was coming. But from the time I've been here, God has been speaking to me in depth. And especially yesterday, I had an encounter with the Lord in the morning at 8. Pastor Hester brought me tea in my bedroom. And while I was taking tea, I had like my spirit, Sam, put down your tea, the coffee. Put it down. I continued taking, but I said, why? I obeyed a voice. And I began to pray. I said, there must be something God wants to minister unto me. And it was yesterday, God gave me the whole thing of what the Father, children's heart means from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to share today is the restoration of the Father's children, Father's heart to their children, and the restoration of the hearts of the children to their fathers. From the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and I smite the land with a curse. I had a question in my spirit. Why
is it that the Lord ends with these two scriptures, these two verses. He says, I'm going to send Elijah, the prophet, before the day of the Lord comes. And he says, he is going to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their father. I had a question. I said, why is it that God, you're saying this scripture? And I went to study the Bible. I went in the book of Deuteronomy. We are going to read there. It's not there. We are going to read there in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verses 18. And this is where the Lord answered this question. Why he ended up with this? He's going to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. And which means if there is any gap, any link there which is not working well, there is a curse. So if there is any unreconciliation, there is any unforgiveness, God sees a curse. And this is a scripture. In the book of Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, this is the answer I got from the Lord. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 21, if any man has a stubborn, rebellious son who will not obey his father and or his mother, and when they chase him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and the mother shall seize him and bring him out the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Verse 20. And they shall say to the elders of this city, this son is ours. In other words, they consent, this is our son. Not someone's son, but this is our son. The Bible says, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and Israel shall hear or read and fear. Just imagine, the Bible tells us in Psalms 127, verse 3, that a child is a gift from God, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Not so. Just imagine that scenario, that you have a child who cannot listen unto you. And the Bible says this child was stubborn. They groomed up their child. Imagine, in the beginning it was fine. They see them like, this is my child, I love him. You pamper the child, you provide everything for that child. But when he grows up and he feel like he cannot listen to you, he cannot obey you, what they did, they went to the elders of the city and consent, this is our son. Not anyone, but this is our son. And they say he cannot listen to us. What happened? The elders of the city will accept and say, give him to us and let us kill him. Imagine a child born of a woman and the father is there. He sees his parents giving him to the other people to kill him. And also the parents seeing the child, they have grown up, they have groomed up, told the discipline. But because it's just rebellious, they see him dying. That is why, the reason why God was saying, I'm going to send Elijah, a prophet. And he's going to restore the fathers to their children, their hearts, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Lest I smite them with a curse. When they were singing this song, Africa, we shout to the north, the south, the west, and the east. What do you see, the picture of Africa? Just see, it's here. The picture of Africa. This is what came to me. I can see a man who's bending and his hands are bound. He's not free. That's a picture I can see in Africa. Africa's gone through a turmoil, a bloodshed. I told you in Uganda in the 80s and 86, many people were killed, and that's why we have the youngest generation I can say in Africa. 75% they are under 30 years. I'm 25 years, I was born in 90. I didn't go through it, but I know it was a hard time for them. Now the parents gave their sons, their children, to be killed because they cannot listen to them. And when I was seeing this, I see also in our time, in our generation, parents have given up on their children to the world system. And what can the world do to your children? Destroy them, destruct them from the will of the Father. But God doesn't want to see that. He doesn't want to see the curse. And now this, the whole picture the Lord gave to me yesterday. How many of you believe with me that Jesus, the Son of God, He died with us. He died for us. We believe that. Not so. Do you know Jesus said very clearly on the cross, Mark 15, verse 34. Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know it was pleasing to God to crush His Son? It was pleasing to the Lord to crush, to bruise Him, that He may die. Because Jesus had to quench the wrath of the Father, that we may be reconciled to Him. There was no any other way. No any other way. In the book of Isaiah 53. Now this is where I got the whole picture. Yes, in the morning, the Lord ministered to me, and sure, I cried yesterday in the morning. I said, Father, thank you for the cross. Isaiah 53. I'm going to read a few scriptures. The Bible says, verses 4, surely our grief Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. Go to verse 10. The Bible says, but the Lord was pleased to crush Him. The Lord, our Father, He was pleased. Like the fathers and the mothers took their children to the elders to be killed. But God had the redemption plan for us. Now this side was bring back our hearts to the Father. The Bible says it was pleasing to God to crush Jesus. Putting Him to grief, if He would render Himself as a guilt offering, He will see His offsprings and will prolong His days as good and good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in His heart. This is the picture I had. Jesus is born. The Bible said the heaven, the angels began to praise the Lord. The same way your children are born. And you say, oh, Nathan, how are you? You feel so happy because of your child. And God Himself said, this is my beloved Son. In the beginning, it was war. It was awesome to see the Son being born. It was a great moment. Joy to heaven rejoiced. And even the men, the wise men, went to see Jesus. It was awesome. The parents were happy because of Jesus. He's born. It was all well in the beginning. But where it was ending, Mary began to cry and told Him, no, cry for yourself and even for your children. It was not pleasing at the end. Jesus, I can imagine the Father in heaven watching His Son crucified. But it was pleasing to crush Him. It was pleasing to crush Him. I'm telling you, God the Father was happy to see His Son being crushed for you and me. For the purpose of restoring these hurts to Him. It was pleasing. Why is God saying, I will send Elijah? You know Elijah very well, the prophet. He ended his work at Jordan. Not so. That's where He gave the mantle to Elisha to take on the ministry. Not so. The Bible says, John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel went to Zacharias the father and told him, your wife Elizabeth will be pregnant and will have a son called John. He gave the name. And it is clear written in Luke chapter 1, if you read, he will be a forerunner of the spirit of Elijah. And John the Baptist began his work at the point at Jordan where Elijah ended his work. Are we together? Elijah was taken up to heaven, and God said, I'm going to send Elijah. But now John the Baptist, Bible says, he will be a forerunner of the spirit of Elijah. He begins his work at Jordan, preparing the way for the Lord. And Jesus came, he met him there. Jesus began his ministry after baptism at the same point where Elijah ended his work. Now Jesus come, baptized in Jordan. He goes in the wilderness. The ministry begins. The plan of restoring the hearts of the fathers to their children begins. And this is the purpose why Jesus came. To bring us back to the Father. But then our relationship with him also is portrayed in the physical. Now, that's why from the Deuteronomy, the fathers were happy to crush their children because they were just rebellious. And we have also given up on our children to the world system. How much time do we spend to pray for them? How long do we take to mentor them? Tell something. Teach your child the ways of Christ before the world teaches them what to do. Teach them before the world teaches them. By the way, God never created the world. No. He created the earth. And the world is just a system. He created the earth. It was just the earth he created. But the world is a system. That's why Jesus said, you don't belong to the world, though you are living here. We are in the system, but we don't belong to the system. We must change the system. What does a father hold? A father holds a spiritual blessing. Now I'm going to talk about the fathers in the spiritual realm and also the fathers in the physical realm. We all have fathers, not so. We have mothers and we have the fathers of faith. I didn't grow up so much with my father. He died when I was 14 years. And also he divorced my mother when I was still young. So I didn't feel that love of the father. But when I got saved when I was 13 years, my father died when I was 14. I came to know more people who have become my fathers in the faith. And also above all, I've come to know him as a father. Because he's a father to the fatherless. So I cannot say I've missed my father. Because he died when I was still young. And I did not grow up with him for a long time. But I've met people who have been my fathers in the faith. And also I came to know the father to the fatherless. The father holds a spiritual blessing. And also the father holds the blessing of the inheritance. Number one thing. As we said, you want to restore the father's heart to the children. And the children's heart to their fathers. Now this one brings to us a relationship between the fathers in the biological realm and also the fathers in the faith together. The relationship. Say the fathers hold a spiritual blessing. If you look in the book of Genesis 27 and Genesis 27, verse 27, 29, this way you're going to find Esau and Jacob getting the father's blessing. Jacob got a blessing which was a fatherly blessing. Jacob from Isaac. That's what he got. Many of us will think he stole the blessing. Yes, it is. But I don't tell you it was the plan of God for him to get that blessing. Because in the beginning, the Bible says, the elder one shall be served by the young one. There was wrestling in the womb. Who goes in first? That's why Jacob had to get a heel of his brother. So I believe it was in God's plan for him to take the blessing. Because it was prophesied even before they were born. He got the fatherly blessing. He got it. And it was a plan of God. I believe it was a plan of God. But also Jacob got a blessing of which some people think he was cursed. But he got a blessing in the other side. Why? He gave him wisdom how to get off from the yoke of his brother. We need wisdom. He came and said, Father, aren't you left with any blessing? He said, your brother's taken it. But until when? He said, until the time will come. I think you can go to verse 40. 40. He say, continue, yes. He say, and Esau said to his father, thou hast thou but one blessing, my father, bless me, even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Continue. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, of the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. That was wisdom. Wisdom was given to Esau. That's why when Jacob was coming back, he thought his brother was still having that grudge. But he embraced him and said, also God has blessed me. He gave him wisdom. It was not a curse. He had to work very hard. You know, there is the issue. A parent, there's a difference between preparing your children and preparing for them. You can prepare a son and you can prepare for him. May I say it's better to prepare a son than preparing for him. You prepare him to meet life. I can give an example. You have a good house, well furnished, and say, son, this is your house. But if you don't teach him how to manage it, he will sell it. Let the prodigal son. He didn't have wisdom. He didn't have wisdom how to manage. He dished out everything because he didn't know how to manage the finances from the father. It was not a problem for him to ask the father, please give me my portion. That was not the problem. That's why in Galatians the Bible says, until you reach that age to be, like, he said, until when you reach the age as a heir, you, like, he say, as a heir, when you're still young, you are still under people who can take care of you. Until you reach the age that you can be entrusted with your inheritance. The prodigal son was not taught well. That's why he mismanaged the finances and he had to come back. Thank the Lord so much, because when we come back to him, he restores us. The fathers hold a blessing. And this morning, I want to major on two things. How have the sons missed the blessing from the fathers? And how have they come to know they can tap the blessing? This from my life experience. My life experience in the ministry, humbling under my spiritual fathers back home in Uganda, and everyone as long as a son of God. You are going to find that many people have missed blessings. And in that way, there is a kind of a broken chain whereby there is no respect and honor on either side. The parents have neglected the responsibilities, and the children also have neglected the responsibilities. And the Bible says, if there is no restoration, no reconciliation, it's a promise that there is a curse. And some people have golden curses ignorantly because they have not come to be taught the truth in the word of God. The whole purpose is he wants to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children. Let us go. Number one thing, the deviance of blessings. What are the things that deviate the sons of God from obtaining the blessings? I respect so much the leaders. And however much, if you're older than me or younger than me, even I respect the young ones. Because if they are anointed, they hold something from God. Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Number one thing, the Bible says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Psalms 105 verse 15. God so much respects the anointing. And when I read this verse, the Bible shows me clearly. First of all, God wants to protect the anointing. It is not all about you. It's not all about me. But he wants, first of all, to protect the anointing. One day in the morning, I was praying. And I felt a rebuke from God. He told me, Sam, don't joke with my anointing. I felt, God, what I say? He ran me back the scriptures. Leviticus 10, verses 7. He told Aaron, through Moses, tell Aaron not to go out of the tent of the meeting, lest he will die, because my anointing is upon him. Let him not go out of the tent of the meeting in that particular time, lest he will die. Why? He was holding an anointing from God. So the Lord respects anointing more than even the vessels, because this comes from him. The vessel does not determine how the anointing is going to work. No. The anointing propels the vessel, you and I, to release it out. He said, touch not my anointed. So first of all, God protects anointing. You hold the anointing. Before you say, I'll not touch the anointing upon Pastor Lister, yourself, you must respect the anointing over you. And sometimes in that way, we have missed a blessing from the Father because we have misappropriated the use of the anointing. We and the Father, Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of God, Lord, is upon me. He has anointed me. He read it, declaring it upon himself. He said, the Spirit of God also has anointed me, because this is Trinity. He holds anointing as a son of God. So he says, he has anointed me. Jesus was a vessel. And yes, was a son of God. But he was used by God for the redemption of bringing back the hearts of the fathers to their children. That was the plan. The New Testament. To me, I see the New Testament is all about that. It was pleasing to God to see his son crushed. And Jesus said it clearly in Mark 15:34. My God, why have you forsaken me? That time, God the Father left Jesus to die. And it was pleasing to him. But yes, it is written in John 10:18. That the Father gave me the command, I may lay down my life and I take it back. So he knew he would take back his life. That was a plan to bring us back to him. So he said, touch not my anointed ones. God respects the anointing. And then he respects then the vessels. We, his children, is using to bring the redemption plan. For me, I can call it the unfinished task. Because Jesus died and said it is finished. That was his part. But there is any finished task we have to accomplish to bring back the hearts of the fathers to their children, to bring souls in the kingdom, to mentor them and disciple them. That was the great commission. The disciples asked Jesus, when is Elijah coming? He told them, he has already come. Matthew 17. He told them, he came. But they didn't recognize him. He was talking of John the Baptist. He came. They never recognized him. That plan, up to now, God is not pleased when he sees us letting our children go the world. I want to give some few examples. If you read the book of Genesis, chapter 9, you see Noah, who was a father of Ham and Sem, the three sons of them. You remember them? These were so pleasing to him. He loved them. First of all, the Bible says that Noah found grace before God, not his sons. The father stands in for the family. Your children are graced by God because of you. Your children are graced by God. The children of Noah, they were graced by God because of him. Because Bible says he found favor before God. And now the Bible says that one time Noah became a drunkard. And he went in his room. Now there come the young son who was called Ham. He sees the nakedness of the father. When he saw the nakedness of the father, he went out and told his brothers, come and see the nakedness of the father. What comes to me? Seeing the nakedness of his father was not a problem. No. The problem was exposing the nakedness of the father. Sometimes we think everyone is perfect. By weaknesses. We capitalize on a few weaknesses. And we expose them. How much time have we taken to cover our fathers? How much time have we taken to pray for them, intercede for them, than exposing their weaknesses? At the point, Ham, he was cursed, but not him, his children. 25 verses. Genesis 9:25. The Bible says he cursed his sons, the descendants who were Canaan. Let me tell you something. He loved them. He loved Ham so much. Noah loved him so much. The Bible says, cursed be Canaan. He cursed Canaan. Not Ham directly. But I'm telling you, if your sons are cursed, you will never be happy. Never. You feel there is something missing. They were cursed by the father. Because he saw the nakedness. Look at Miriam. Miriam was a good lady, also anointed by God in her character, in a way. And Aaron was a servant of God, who was a priest chosen by God himself. Numbers 12. The Bible says Moses married the Cushite. And it was in the law that they would not intermarry to any other tribe outside Israel. But now comes Moses, marries a lady outside the covenant, the Cushite. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. The Lord was not happy. The Bible says that those days, there was not anyone humble like Moses. The Bible says, God called them and took them aside. I learned something from that. When the Lord will rebuke you, he won't rebuke you among the people sometime. He will take you in the corner where you are used to meet him. He brought them while the tent was and told them, if there is any prophet among you, if there is anyone I can speak in visions, through dreams. But my servant Moses, I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth, not in dark sayings. And he said, who has told you to speak against my servant Moses? Let me ask a question. Do you think it was right for Moses to marry a Cushite? Don't you think he made a mistake? It was a mistake, and Moses knew the law. He made a mistake, but they spoke against him. And the Lord was not happy. What happened? Immediately, the Bible says that Miriam got leprosy. Immediately. And Aaron saw that. He went to Moses and said, please, let her not die. And Moses went before the Lord. Verse 14. That scripture, I want you to see where God links the issue of the fathers. Moses was spiritual leader, anointed by God. The Bible says, but the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, he bring the issue of the father. Like it would have been to her father, the same to my servant now. If her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days and let her be shut up for the 7 days outside the camp? And afterward, she may be received again. 7 days Miriam went out of the camp of the Israel, and it meant obviously the Israelites were supposed to stay in that camp for 7 days. In other words, her complaint delayed the children of Israel in their movement. If we declare it, the next verse 17, the Bible says they would not move because Miriam was supposed to go with them. But the issue was, she complained against the servant of God. And God said, if it was her father but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Then the Bible says, he told them, let her go out. Go. We have people behind us. People are looking at you. But you may spend much time on the complaints and you delay the plans of God for a moment. The second thing, the vagabond spirits. We see some people who cannot sit under the leaders and respect them for the moment. Sitting under the leaders, submitting to them. If in the Bible says in Acts of Apostles 19, verses 11, there were the sons of Sceva who went out and they began to say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we cast you out. And the demons told them, for Paul we know and Jesus we know. Who told you to say? Who are you? They asked them, who are you? They could not sit under the leadership. The vagabond spirit. They wandered. I wish they went to them and sit under the teaching of Paul. They would know who Jesus is. But they just heard about him. They said, where did you are you? And they were stricken by the demons. The shame was on them because they could not sit under the leaders. The third thing I want to talk about, many people rebuke the leaders. They rebuke the fathers. And Paul clearly told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1, do not sharply rebuke the older man, but rather appeal to him as a father. It's a scripture. You remember Elijah? I think it was Elijah. The boys said, look at this man with a bald head. What did Elijah do to them? Who can remind me? Hands. Yes. Say.
A bear came out and devoured the children.
That is it. Look at this man with the bald head. They were no more. They rebuked the man. He was carrying the anointing. They didn't know. This last thing. Failure to bless and look out for the fathers. How many of you believe that leaders, anyone who does any work, is a good soil to sow in the seed? In our church back home, we don't believe just only giving the poor, but we even believe in sowing seed in the sons of men, the children of God. We sow seed in them. Let us read the scripture. If we sow the spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? Paul was asking them. They sow the spiritual. Now he was asking them, is it too much for you if you can reap the material things from you? Is it too much? How much do we give for the work of God? First Thessalonians, please, can I have this next slide? Now, here it shows retaining the blessing from the fathers. Here I said, Paul was asking, is it too much if you can reap the material things from you if you have sowed the spiritual? People love the message, but they don't love the messengers. Are we together? Paul is saying, but no, I'm talking of now you esteem. Now this is how you can retain blessing from the fathers. And the same God himself. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and who have charge over you. How many of you have the fathers? And you know, there's somebody who really worked for me. He goes on his knees like the pastors do, the elders, the deacons, whoever, goes and needs to pray for you, intercede for you. He says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. The scripture. I'm not saying Pastor Lister, Haynes, and all the ministers, they are in need. No. My bishop, sometimes we as a church, people, they go and bless him. Say, Bishop, of like Christmas, eh? Anytime, say, Bishop, I want to bless you. And Pastor, this morning, I want to ask a question. How your car runs, how much does it consume every kilometer, the fuel? If you know. Every kilometer, how much does it consume, the liters? Your car, the big one. Okay, the big one. 10 runs per kilometer. I want to bless you, Pastor. I have these $5 and 50 runs. How much can they do to run your car for this week? I want to bless you. $5 and 50 runs. Go buy the fuel for your car. I want to bless you. You have done wonderful in my life when I came here. Praise the Lord. It's always good to sow seeds in the sons and the servants of God. It's not that they lack. No. You are giving yourself a ground for God even to bless you. It's not all that you bless those who don't have. Even those who have, blessed them. Jesus, Susan, if you read Luke 8, there are many women who blessed Jesus. Susan was there. Mary Magdalene, the Bible said they supported the work of Jesus. Even this lady, Mary, she broke the perfume. It was very expensive. She said, I give it to Jesus. She broke it. Jesus didn't lack anything. No. But they were there to support his work. So it's my prayer that as we continue, we respect the fathers in biological realm and also the fathers in the spirit. Why? If we don't do that, there is a curse. The Bible says, these become our fathers in the gospel, like Paul told the church of Corinthians. I became your father through the gospel. Even if you have many tutors, but it's always a father. We are going to pray. Pastor taught me to lead this, have the altar call. We are going to pray. We are going to repent for Africa, for the hearts of the fathers and hearts of the children that have not come back to each other. Let the bones in the dry, in the valley, they are all scattered. But Ezekiel, God took him there and said, prophesy to these bones. We are going to prophesy to every heart that has been broken, to bring them together. The conciliation. That's all what I'm going to do. We want to pray for South Africa and Africa at large. Because we don't want to see this curse following us. We want to save our generation and the next generation. Those who are going to have children in the future, you know what to do, because the Bible says, the hearts must be together. What Jesus did, he reconciled us to the Father. But we have a task to do for the kingdom. Are we together? Show me a hand if we are together. We're not going to give up on our children. You are going to pray for them, intercede for them. You know, even if they become rebellious, you say, Lord, these are my children. Don't give up on them. You won't give up. You say, Father, these are my children. And also the same, the children must know If there is anything never went well, to reconcile. And the second thing you are going to do, you ask God if there is anything you feel like you probably hurt your child, you hurt your children, or the children hurt the father. You're going to reconcile. For the children who are here, if you know there is a missing link there, you go talk to the father and say, Father, if there is anything I did, please forgive me. Knowingly, or if I didn't know, forgive me. Practically, faith that works is there. Let's stand up on our feet. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to pray for the nation of South Africa. We are going to pray for Africa, that God will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children in the spiritual realm, because many have got curses. They have got curses, not knowingly. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, he missed a blessing because he sinned. He committed incest on the bed of his father. And the Bible says Jacob blessed the children of Joseph and told them, these are my children. He didn't give them the blessing, the firstborn blessing. He passed it over to others. We have missed blessing from our fathers because we have rebelled for them. You're going to repent and tell God, forgive us for even other people. It's our responsibility to cry to him to bring back the hearts that are broken. In Jesus' name. Just take this moment to add the leaders in the worship song. Jesus. Jesus. We come before you, Lord. We need that restoration of our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Restore us. Restore us, Lord. Restore us, Jesus. The outcry from Africa. Many hearts are broken. Many hearts are broken, Father. Many people have broken their hearts. Their children have been hurt by their fathers, by their mothers. And also the same, the fathers have given up on their children because of some issues. They are being hurt also. We pray for anointing to burn back the relationship. In the name of Jesus. Just tell Lord, forgive me, forgive us as a country, forgive us as a nation, because God is putting us as watchmen over the city, over the nation, over the country. We are watchmen. God is counting for you. He said in Ezekiel, I look for a man who can stand in a gap. I found no one, but you are here. God is counting on you. He is watching over you. He is counting on you to repent for your country. Samuel said, be it far away from me that I may sin against the Lord by not praying for the children of Israel. Father, let your mercies, let your mercies, Lord, the rain of righteousness rain on us. Restoration of the hearts, Lord, the broken heart, the Lord. Bind them, my Father. Yes, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Yes, Lord. Have mercy, Jesus. Yes, have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy over our families, Lord. For the broken relationships, my Father, between the fathers and their children, between the mothers and their children, my God. My Lord, my God, we have neglected over them, my Father. We have given up on them, my Father, because of the rebelliousness in their hearts. We come back to you, Lord. Restore these hearts. Restore these hearts, Lord. Restore these hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the love of God flow over every spirit, every soul, every mankind. We may obtain, Lord, the righteousness of God by the love of God that we showed up on the cross. Father, we have grieved you. You have grieved you. We have grieved you, Father. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, David is saying, I'd rather fall in the hands of God than falling in the hands of the wicked. For in his hands are greater mercies. Lord, your mercy renewed every morning, my God. Oh, Rika Mosika Labayerebo. Hear the outcry of your people, Father. Hear the outcry of the hearts of your people. Your people, your children, Lord. We cry for Africa. We cry for South Africa, Lord. We cry for every earth, Lord. Jesus. You are here. And you believe that you have come to know. You've not done enough for your children. It's like you're almost giving up on them. It's not about you. It's all about him. Surrender them to Jesus. You feel like you've not done enough for your children. And there is a missing link. The relationship is not strong. You loved well in the beginning, but the end is not good. You feel like there is something, Lord, you must do. According to what God has spoken to us, if you are there, and you need to see the blessing of God over your children, because he said, your children will not see calamity, for they are the offsprings of those blessed by God. You cannot give up on your children. God was pleased to see Jesus Christ, but he had a plan after to reconcile us. If you fall in that category, according to what you have heard, I want you to raise up your hand and you come forward. We pray together. Ministers shall pray for you. And some of you are here. It is in your family, some of them, part of the family members, their relationship is not strong with their children. You are going to stand here on their behalf. You are going to pray for them. In Jesus' name. I request the pastor to come and the ministers to come. And they will pray for you. You feel there is that link which is missing. You need God. Thank you. Some of it is in your family. The relationship of between your other relatives is not good. You feel it is not good. You can stand on their behalf here. We want to restore the father's heart, the children. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.